I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Don't you love the NFL? We're getting ready to do this show. All right, we'll talk the biggest games of the weekend and you go through them. Bills, Jets, you know, how will the Bills bounce back? You look at 49ers and Pats. 49ers coming off the big victory. Pats coming off a loss. You also have Browns and Bengals. You have the biggest game of the weekend, Steelers and Tennessee. Seahawks and Cardinals. Bucks and Raiders. Bears and Rams on Monday. You know, maybe the biggest games isn't the right word, but just games that are intriguing to you. You know, you expect Buffalo to blow out the Jets. You expect the Browns to be able to take care of the Bengals, especially without Joe Mixon. 49ers, Pats, it's a toss-up. Panthers, maybe they could pull off the upset. Saints aren't going to have Emmanuel Sanders nor Michael Thomas in this one. So there's so many games that you look at, and even when you go into it like, all right, Bills, Jets, what's the takeaway? Bills should smother the Jets. Well, Sam Darnold's going to be making his return. You know, there's a lot of games this weekend that you're just going to be curious to see what these teams could do. Chiefs and Broncos, for example. You would expect the Chiefs to win. I read that it's supposed to snow for this upcoming weekend in Denver. I talked to my sister. She just moved out there to Denver, and she said it was supposed to snow this weekend, and it was like 30 degrees today. And I'll be curious if the Broncos could show up. They didn't do much offensively last week. Can you show up offensively against the Kansas City Chiefs? So there's like a bunch of different storylines and a bunch of different things that has my brain spinning in certain directions. And then, boom, 5 minutes past 6 o'clock, Connor gets in my ear and he goes, did you see the Adam Schefter tweet? And I said, as we were talking about something again, the talk back, yep, I saw it, just waiting for it to be confirmed. Because at first I saw it, I'm like, is this the real tweet? And it was kind of, it looks like a deal's going to get done. He's going to Tampa. And then when after it was 6:05, 6:06, it got to 6:08, 6:09, 6:10, more tweets started to come on in. And then we were already at 6:15, and I gave you that tease. When we come on back, there's some big Antonio Brown news that shouldn't be surprising. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll tell you about it when we return in 5 minutes. And then I wanted to read more of the tweets, and we came back at 6:15 p.m. Eastern or 6:20 p.m. Eastern, and it was, all right, looks like Antonio Brown's going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it went from looks like to now it is definitely happening on a one-year deal, AB to Tampa. The Antonio Brown story is one of the crazier stories that you'll ever see. And all of his problems have been self-inflicted, and this was a guy who went from being the best wide receiver in the sport to the Steelers only getting back a 3 and a 5 for him, then going to the Raiders. The helmet didn't fit. He got the frostbitten feet, if you remember. And then they voided his contract, the guarantees in his contract, because of the fact that he wasn't showing up and they wanted to fine him and have a punitive action because the Steelers didn't do that enough, or they didn't do that publicly. And this guy wanted to fight Mike Mayock and tried to fight Mike Mayock on the field. You know, I'm not even getting into the nasty allegations and everything that happened off the field yet. So that's all happening with AB. He doesn't even play a game for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think he showed up to one preseason game. And at the time, the Raiders were on Hard Knocks that year, right? Yeah, so the Raiders were on Hard Knocks. And you wake up one day and you see this dumb video of Antonio Brown running around. Grandma, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. I'm a peacock. Now you got to let me fly, I'm free. And it was like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And if you even go back, he was actually recording in secret fashion his conversation with John Gruden. And John Gruden's talking about how much they want him here. And the whole thing was bizarre. So Antonio Brown got to the Raiders. Yeah, I love Derek Carr. Oh, I love the Raiders. I love John Gruden. And the minute when his money got messed with, yeah, I don't love the Raiders that much. And then he orchestrated this plan to get a release. They ended up releasing him. And he signs with New England. And I was on the radio that night right here on CBS Sports Radio, the night where Antonio Brown signed with New England. And a lot of people, I'll never forget it, it was with James Graceffo and Ben Horowitz. And they were saying, oh, you just won another Super Bowl. I go, and they were even saying 16-0. I'm like, guys, slow down here for a second. We don't even know if this guy is going to make it through the season. And I go, this Patriot team is not as good as you think it is. And sure, they were coming off because they signed him a few days before the Pittsburgh game. He wasn't eligible to play in the Pittsburgh game. They blew out the Steelers. The next week, AB gets there. He plays up against the Dolphins, one touchdown, and then a few days later, cut because of all the allegations that did emerge. I was actually at the Mets game when that first allegation did come down. I was in the stands, and my buddy goes, did you see this AB tweet? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to enjoy the Mets. And then I saw the Antonio Brown tweet, and you knew right away that he was going to get released. And if you recall, I don't even think it was because of the allegations why he got released. He got released because they gave him a clean slate, and they said, basically, stay off social media, don't do anything else. And this guy was texting the alleged victim, like, over and over and over again. And that was like the driving force behind the release. So then AB gets released. And now we went a while with that Antonio Brown where he goes from, I want to play, I don't want to play, I'm going to play, then I'm going to retire. And now today we find out that he's signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And if you think about it, he went from playing with Big Ben in Pittsburgh to then, yes, the Raiders taking him, but really no one wanting him. Then going to the Raiders, and we thought the last chance was going to be in New England, and now he gets another chance. So a second chance to a third chance, now a fourth chance in the National Football League. This is wild. And it just shows you, regardless of what you do, as long as you are a free man, a team will give you an opportunity. And if you're the Buccaneers, this is a no-brainer to bring in Antonio Brown. He has that relationship with Tom Brady. Brady, when I know they weren't playing the Super Bowl this year, but they were honoring him NFL 100. He actually went and visited Antonio Brown in Florida. So they developed this relationship, and Brady kind of played it the smart way, where he kept on being that friend, being that pal for Antonio Brown. And now Antonio Brown, eight-week suspension, that's going to expire at the end of next week, and he's going to Tampa. So all AB has to do is behave week 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then a 3-4-week playoff run if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers get to the Super Bowl. So you're actually, all you're asking him to do is to behave for 3 months. And we haven't heard a lot from Antonio Brown the last month, month and a half. And I bet you Tom Brady was texting him, was calling him, hey, AB, hey, pal, hey, my guy, don't do anything stupid here. You trust me, I trust you, I'll get you to Tampa Bay. And Brady probably kept on going into BA's office, Jason Light's office, guys, let's bring in Antonio Brown. Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. Let's bring him in. And Jason and BA probably said, we don't need him. We got Evans. We got Godwin. We got you, Gronk, your pal. We don't need him. And then probably the change of heart by Bruce Arians, who originally said he wasn't going to take Antonio Brown back in March, the change of heart was probably Seattle's interested. And it looked like, wasn't it a foregone conclusion, a few days ago, that it was going to be AB to Seattle? And then Brady probably went in and said, guys, do we want to win a Super Bowl this year? Now, we could still win a Super Bowl without him. But why let him go to the direct competitor that's right in our way in the NFC? We already showed you we could beat the Packers. I know we lost to the Saints, but the Saints haven't been the same team since week one. And we get to play him again. Why would we let AB go to the strongest team right now, viewed by a lot of people in the NFC? So you go get him, even though you don't need him, but it makes his offense even more explosive and gives you insurance in case of Evans and Godwin, who have both been banged up this year, continue to get hurt and continue to stay hurt. And here's the difference with the Bucs compared to the other contenders in the NFC. Packers defense isn't great. Seahawks defense isn't great. So you have a defense that has been playing lights out and an offense which is supposed to be the strength of your team that hasn't even reached their full potential yet. What a move by the Buccaneers. Even if AB gets cut in 2 weeks, it's a low-risk, high-reward. And we talked about this early in the week. If you want to bring him in, I would feel very comfortable bringing him in knowing that if it fails, because you have to assume it's going to fail with this guy, there's no trust with this guy, that it won't derail your season. And if it doesn't work and they have to release him in 3 weeks, that's not going to derail the Tampa Bay Buccaneers season. And I actually think for some reason that this is going to work. And right now, if you ask me who gets to the Super Bowl in the NFC, I'm taking Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, Kansas City. That's the matchup. Now, could Kansas City not get there? Sure. Could the Bucs not get there? Sure. But that's the matchup right now. You make me select the new Super Bowl pick, and I was Seattle, Kansas City before the year. I go Tampa Bay going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. So Brady gets his way, as Brady should at this stage of his career, and I wonder what the end goal here is for Tom Brady. Yeah, it's to win a championship, but how much longer does Tom Brady want to play? He's under contract this year and next year. Does he want to play after that? You've heard all the time he wants to play until he's 45. He's 43 currently. Would he walk away on the next championship? Would he come back and say, you know what, let's run it back again? The decision, though, by Tom Brady to leave New England, and it pains me to say this because I'm a Pats fan, it was the right decision. Now, he could have stayed in New England. He could have had Gronk. He could have had Edelman. Maybe the Pats would have brought back AB, sure. But you look at this Tampa Bay team, you got an excellent front seven. You have a great receiving duo, Evans and Godwin. And now you bring in Antonio Brown? How do you defend these guys? If you're a defense, all right, you want to take away Evans. Godwin and AB will burn you. All right, even if you can take away all three wide receivers, good luck. Ronald Jones will be productive. Gronk will get better as the season goes on. The Buccaneers sent a big message last weekend. They're sending an even bigger message right today in this moment. They're all in. You bring in Tom Brady, you better be all in. And Brady's decision to go to Tampa Bay, it's the right decision. It's definitely the right decision. Because you ask me right now, would you rather be New England? Would you rather be Tampa Bay? If you were Brady, you'd rather be in New England right now? You'd rather be in Tampa Bay? I'd rather be in Tampa Bay. And whoever thought I'd be saying those words into the microphone? Is this thing on? Testing 1, 2, 3? Who would have ever thought you'd rather be in Tampa Bay than New England to play football? Not to go on vacation, to play football. This Bucs team, I can't wait to see what this turns into. Biggest storyline going into the year, what Brady was going to do, what Belichick was going to do. Belichick needs a victory this weekend. Not that it changes his legacy or anything like that. Like, that stuff to me is so funny and comical. Guy could have gone 0-16 this year. Well, let's not go that far, but, you know, guy could have gone 7-9 this year. Does that not make Belichick a great coach anymore? Does that take him out of the greatest coach of all time conversation? Absolutely not. Made a team that was historically awful, and he ended up producing the greatest dynasty 20 years that we've ever seen in the National Football League. So I always think the Brady, Belichick, and what happens in the next 2-3 years talk is funny. But for the Pats this weekend, you're right now sitting at a 2-3 record, losing to the Broncos, a game that you should have never lost. You lose to the 49ers this weekend. Patriots are going to take a beating on Monday nationally, especially with the direction the Bucs and Brady look like they're going in. They need a victory this weekend. You go to 3-3. All right, back on track. For the Buccaneers, though, you look at their matchup this weekend, the Raiders. Is there a little intrigue there? I think there is. Because I don't know what the Raiders are. I really don't. I know they had the back-to-back losses to Buffalo and the Pats before that stretch. They took down the Saints. They come from behind. They come from behind. They beat the Chiefs. And I still have, like, zero confidence with the Raiders. You know, offensive line, you had the COVID situation with Trent Brown this week. Derek Carr has been playing well this year. I like Josh Jacobs defensively. I like Max Crosby. But I don't love their defense. But they do have wins up against the Saints and the Chiefs. So I don't know what the Raiders are, but this is another test for the Raiders. And yeah, AB's not going to be able to play on Sunday for the Raiders and the Buccaneers. But both those games and what's been the biggest storyline this season, what Brady's going to do without Belichick and what Belichick's going to do without Brady, both those teams, you know, for the Pats, the game means a lot more, but there's intrigue in both those games and both those teams, all four of those teams. Still trying to figure out what the Raiders are. Bucks coming off a huge win. You don't want to have a letdown up against the Raiders. 49ers, they looked dead last week or 2 weeks ago. Then they have a huge statement game up against the Rams. And for the Pats, yeah, they were an early good story. You know, hung in there with Kansas City without Cam. Almost beat the Seahawks. You know, you're sitting at 2-2, but you felt fine about their two losses. And then they lose to the Broncos. They didn't even score a touchdown on the Broncos. Brandon McManus had 6 field goals in the game. So, here we go. The drama wheel just continues to spin in the National Football League. The Cowboys are a mess. The Eagles somehow got a victory last night. The North, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was cooking. Then they get smacked by the Buccaneers. The Bears are somehow 5-1, and they play the Rams on Monday Night Football. In the NFC South, it's the Bucs, it's the Saints. Carolina's been a hungry, good team. I think Carolina could actually beat the Saints this upcoming weekend. I don't think that's crazy. And in the West, Seahawks are great. Rams are up and down. Cardinals have a fun offense. 49ers, maybe they could get back into it. The AFC, Bills, tremendous. Then they lose 2 in a row. Dolphins 3-3. They're on a bye, but they're about to start Tua Tagovailoa next week against the Rams. New England, are there problems in New England? AFC North, Browns, you think they would bounce back up against the Bengals this week? Steelers dominant. Ravens a really good team. In the South, Tennessee's undefeated. Colts, it's up and down each and every week with Phillip Rivers. And then in the AFC West, oh yeah, by the way, you still have the defending Super Bowl champions who should get back to the Super Bowl again this year. And then we're trying to see what the Raiders are. So football this year, I'm so glad we have it back. But this AB thing, man, it's wild. On a Friday, you get a little AB news dump. He's coming back to the National Football League. So Mr. Big Chess, is he going to be able to fall in line or will he quickly be sent out of Tampa Bay and sent packing? You can never predict Antonio Brown, but if I'm going to make a prediction right now, I'm saying it's going to be Bucks Chiefs Super Bowl this year. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll do a little onsides, offsides.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And always, the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio has their toll-free line. And our toll-free line, as always, is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what is really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Connor Green, what do you got for me today, brother?
All right, Zach. Number one.
Wait, real quickly.
Yeah.
I always interrupt people when they do this. Shep was doing this on Monday. How do you think Shep's cadence was when reading these questions?
I know Shep is very, like, soft-spoken. Was he soft-spoken and very relaxed? Not at all.
He was like, so for example, I'll read one of the questions. This is how he sounded. Le'Veon Bell found a new team as he makes his debut with the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday. His former teammate and fellow member of the Killer Bees, Antonio Brown, is signing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gelb, let me ask you a question. Onsides, offsides. It was almost as if he sucked the helium out of the balloon.
I think he was just really excited to get your answer, Zach. He really, really wanted to know if you were onside or offside.
Yeah, but he was basically like sucking helium, and his voice got like high pitch. He was speaking at 9,000 miles an hour. I needed to take an aspirin after the segment. Notice how Shep wasn't back then on Tuesday. No, that wasn't the case. That's just me trying to be a tough guy radio punk. All right, what do you got for me, Connor?
All right, Zach. Number one, so Le'Veon Bell found a new team as he makes his debut with the Kansas City Chiefs.
How about those Chiefs?
On Sunday. His former teammate and fellow member of the Killer Bees, Antonio Brown,
they call me Mr. Big Chest,
has now signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Onside or offside? Le'Veon Bell might be in a great situation, but Antonio Brown will actually have a bigger late-season impact than Le'Veon Bell?
That's a good question. Now, both have a plethora of options, a bevy of options, an abundance of options. I would say AB makes more of an impact, and here's why. The Chiefs, to me, before they got Le'Veon Bell, was the team in the AFC that was going to the Super Bowl. Now with AB going to Tampa, if he's able to stay on the field, I think that's the difference maker. Where when you're looking at tiebreakers, and yes, you know how good the Bucs defense is, and that's probably the ultimate tiebreaker. Now this is another weapon in the arsenal. So both teams added new weapons in the arsenal. In the NFC, when it's more wide open, I think that's a bigger impact than Le'Veon Bell going to the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'll take AB over Le'Veon Bell, and that AB makes a bigger impact with the Bucs than Bell does with the Chiefs, so onsides.
All right, number two. Last night, Carson Wentz threw for 359 yards with three total touchdowns and led the Eagles as they overcame a two-score deficit with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He did this while throwing to a third-string tight end in Richard Rodgers, a backup running back in Boston Scott, and a second-year practice squad receiver in Travis Fulgham.
Shout out to Old Dominion.
Onside or offside, the Eagles might not win a ton of games this year, but after last night, no one can blame Wentz for the Eagles' lack of success.
So Carson Wentz does make mistakes. If you think, though, that Carson Wentz is the preeminent problem in Philadelphia, I vehemently disagree. They have no offensive line right now. They have no weapons to throw to. So sure, there's more pressure on him, and he sometimes should throw the football out of bounds, unlike what he did last night where he threw an interception to, I think it was James Bradbury. So yeah, sometimes he forces, but he's not the number one problem in Philadelphia. And hopefully, I know it's only one win against the Giants, and the Eagles absolutely own the Giants. They've defeated them 21 out of the last 25 times. The Giants have 8 straight losses to the EAGLES Eagles, and the Giants have lost 12 out of the last 13 to Philadelphia. When I watch the Eagles, though, even though Wentz can frustrate you at times, like in the first half last night, and you saw the brilliance in the final two drives by him, I don't walk away saying, yeah, he's the main problem with this team. It's the line, or the lack of it, and the lack of weapons. So onsides, people should not be blaming Carson Wentz for the Eagles' shortcomings.
All right, number three, we have a divisional battle on Sunday as the Cincinnati Bengals square off with the Cleveland Browns.
Here we go, Brownies, here we go. Oof, oof.
It's also a matchup of two high-profile quarterbacks as Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield meet for the second time this year. In week two, Burrow threw for 316 yards and three touchdowns.
Do you remember how many passes he threw in that game? 61.
61, right?
Yeah.
So he threw 61 passes. 316 yards, three touchdowns. Baker Mayfield only threw for 219 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. Onside or offside? Burrow will again outperform Mayfield this time around because although he's a rookie, it's clear that Burrow is the better quarterback.
Pardon me here. When you mean outperform, is it just in terms of statistics?
Statistics, quarterback rating, yards, completion percentage,
okay,
and those things. Baker might still win the game, but Burrow will outperform him.
I think Baker's going to win the game. I do think Burrow will make some mistakes. However, I think the yards and the passing touchdowns will be more in favor of Burrow. Remember, no Mixon, so Giovanni Bernard with that mustache is going to be the number one option for them. He catches a bunch of footballs out of the backfield as is. I think this is another game where they're throwing a lot. Baker is banged up too. The formula for the Browns, run the football. Baker managed the game. Even a few weeks ago against the Colts, Baker had two interceptions. Rivers had two interceptions and also an intentional grounding for a safety. As I do the safety dance right there, I wish we were on Twitch or video stream right there because that was a great big man safety dance. But I'll just say because Burrow will also be down, that maybe he picks up like two touchdowns that he wouldn't have thrown if it was going back and forth. So I think Burrow has the better stats. Baker gets the W though. So when you ask me, Burrow will again outperform Mayfield this time around because although he's a rookie, it's clear that Burrow is the better quarterback. I will say on sides, Burrow won't get the dub though.
All right, number three, your New
like
England.
I can transition that. All right.
All righty. Number four, your New England Patriots, led by Cam Newton, sit at 2-3, fresh off a loss to the Broncos.
Brady come back?
They match up this weekend with a depleted but still formidable 49ers team missing Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, Solomon Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Raheem Mostert, while Jimmy G is still rounding into shape after suffering a high ankle sprain. Onside or offside? This is a measuring stick game, and whoever loses can be officially ruled out as a threat to make a playoff run in 2020.
I do think it's a measuring stick game. However, I don't think either of these teams are a threat to make a playoff run this year. So I go offsides.
Offside!
And the reason I say that is right now the Pats are at 2-3. If they get to 3-3, is the take on Monday, oh my goodness gracious, now the Patriots are going to go on a deep run. It's no, the Patriots are back contending in the AFC East. And they got a victory. For the 49ers, yeah, I could see why if you're a 49ers fan, you could say it's another win. You survive. Now this team has put together two in a row. Just get them healthy, and then they could be a threat later in the season. All right, that's a fair take. On Monday, though, if this team gets a victory, they would then be what? Their record right now, they're 3-3. So they would then be 4-3. Is anyone freaking out over a 4-3 football team? No. Now, let's just say on the other end, if the Pats lose, then they're 2-4. It's all right. The Patriots are not a great team this year. If the 49ers lose, it's all right. They're 3-4. Last week was misleading in a divisional game. So I don't think there is the take if either team wins. Now, this means they're going on a deep run and they're going to be a contender. There's a difference getting into the playoffs and being a contender. I don't think either of these teams right now are contenders. So when you ask me that this is a measuring stick game and whoever loses can officially be ruled out as a threat to make a playoff run in 2020, I say offsides not because, yeah, the team that loses, you're not going to think highly of them. You're going to think poorly of them. But I don't think either team are playoff threats with the way that we look at them this year.
Offside.
Number five.
Oh, you didn't go all right there.
I know. I changed it because you mentioned it. I didn't notice that I even did that.
A little self-conscious.
Yeah, so now I'm changing my whole thing. Number five, America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, have allowed 218 points in total this season.
I was going to say, per game, that's a lot.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a little
much.
Seems
that way when you watch them.
That's the most points allowed through 6 weeks by any team in the Super Bowl era. This week, they face the Washington football team, who ranks 30th in the NFL, scoring just 18 points per game. Onside or offside, regardless of whether they win or lose, if the Cowboys' defense allows Kyle Allen and the anemic Washington offense to march up and down the field, Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Nolan has to be fired.
I would say onsides. Some already say that he has to be fired right now. Coming off that disaster, which a lot of it was because of Zeke with the two fumbles. Coming off that disaster, though, if you then lose to Washington's football team, that other than Gibson and McLaurin basically have zero offense and Kyle Allen is not a good quarterback, you just can't lose this game. There's no other way around it. With all the drama, someone has to be held accountable, and it's not going to be McCarthy that goes in year one. It will be Mike Nolan, and if they allow Kyle Allen to smack him around, if you can't hold Kyle Allen to, I'll even say 24 points. Like, I'm not even going nuts here. Hold him to 24 or below, and I think you win the game. I think your offense, even though Washington's good front seven, can score 27 with the Cowboys because they'll bounce back, you would think, this week. You can't lose this game. If you lose this game, someone's going to have to be sent packing, and it will be Mike Nolan, so on sides. All right, let me take John in Arizona on the Zach Yelp Show, 855-212-4CBS. John, go ahead, brother.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great, John. What do you got?
Good. Let me get off speaker here. So let me get it right because I've been on hold for a minute. You said Tampa Bay and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
If I had to repick right now, yeah, I'd go Tampa Bay and the Chiefs. I did take Seattle and the Chiefs before the season.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking Seattle and Tennessee, and I was
That's fine.
Yeah. And I don't know. With Tampa Bay, I don't see it. Yeah, Antonio Brown, he just joined there, and they got Gronkowski, but I don't see them competing. Antonio Brown will probably be gone in 2 weeks, so that was my take. That's all. And Tennessee's beast and Seattle's a beast, and I'm a Dolphins fan, so
that's fine. The only thing I'll say, John, and thanks for the phone call. The only thing that concerns me about Seattle, who I've been leading the charge on since the offseason, and also Tennessee, the defenses. Tennessee's the worst third down defense in the league. Seattle's defense is leaking oil left and right. So can they fix those problems by the time the playoffs happen? You know, they're offensively, they may get there just on their own. But you eventually need a defense to step up and make a big play in crucial situations. And Super Bowl predictions are fun. You know, I would just love to see a Kansas City-Tampa Bay Super Bowl with all those names. It'd be fascinating. It would be phenomenal. And where I think Tampa Bay has an advantage amongst the rest of the contenders in the NFC is their defense. And even if AB is a disaster, even if he acts up and they have to get rid of him in 2 weeks, you're still loaded on offense. And that's the scary part with Tampa Bay. We have not seen the best of their offense yet, where the defense has been lights out. Just ask Aaron Rodgers. About 10 points, and they picked off Aaron Rodgers twice. Going into the game, Rodgers didn't throw a pick, what, in 150-something attempts? Look what they did on Sunday. So you go either way. I think it's clear that there's 8 teams that are Super Bowl contenders right now. In the AFC, Chiefs, Titans, Steelers, Ravens. In the NFC, I'd still somewhat throw the Saints in there. Buccaneers, Packers, and Seahawks. Whatever combination you want to come up with, I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid, you're dumb, you're a moron. I'm not going to do that. Because anything could happen in this league. And if you want to tell me that you still have 2 of those teams on the list, yeah, go ahead. Predictions are fun. 9 times out of 10, we get them wrong. As a talk show host, though, I could actually admit when I get my predictions wrong. Many talk show hosts in this business never said that. Never happened. There's always the Twitter police out there. There will be a system of checks and balances as always. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get an update in. Here's Bob Uecker.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Big Football Friday show. You also have the Big Ten. It's back. See, this is what's crazy in sports. AB, Bruce Arians, we won't sign him. Now we sit here on what is today, the 23rd day of October. AB, a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Big Ten football. We're releasing a schedule less than a week later. Season's postponed. We're not going to have a season in the fall. Month later, we're coming back on the weekend of October 23rd, October 24th. Here's the big thought in college football. Alabama-Clemson. Clemson, I think they just scored another touchdown up against Jeff Collins' Georgia Tech team. That was ridiculous what they did last week. And you expected it, but still, to see them just score at that number, and you almost feel as if they could have scored 150 points, that was really impressive. And then Alabama, they were going back and forth with Georgia, and then you had the Waddle big play, and Stenson Bennett was what Stenson Bennett is. Not great. And he threw the two picks, and Alabama turned them into points. And the Alabama receiving core, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle. Imagine if Henry Ruggs was still there. Imagine if Jerry Jeudy was still there. And that's what stinks last year with Tua Tagovailoa getting hurt. Now, I don't know what would happen, but let's just say Alabama got into the national, the college football playoff last year. Imagine if, I don't know, Alabama played Clemson in the first round, and then you had LSU go up against whoever, and LSU still would have got to the championship game, and we had an Alabama-LSU championship game. Oh, that would have been great. That would have been awesome. It really would have been. Because last year, well, why can't I remember this? It was LSU. It was Clemson. Oklahoma was in the college football playoff, right? Who was the fourth team in the college? Google that real quickly, Connor. For some reason, please Google it. Let me be polite, not just bark out orders. I can't remember who the fourth team was in the college football playoff. Ohio State? That's what it had to be. Had to be Ohio State. You have the matchups right there from last year in the semifinal?
It was Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Notre Dame.
No. No, that was 2 years ago.
Oh. I'm all confused. I'm thinking that was 2019.
Yeah. Last year. Do you have it right there?
LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Clemson.
That's right. So that's what it was. So I had the four teams. Just took me a while to get there. Notre Dame, the minute you said that, I was like, oh my goodness gracious, Notre Dame?
Yeah, even I was like, wait a minute. Again? I was like, wait, what?
All right, so yeah, imagine. So give me that one more time, the matchups last year, real quickly.
It was LSU against Oklahoma and Ohio State against Clemson.
That's right. Both of those games were disappointing. You had the Joe Burrow threw like seven touchdowns or something in that game. So imagine if we had LSU-Alabama. Oh, no, excuse me. What happens if we had, let's go, just for argument's sake, Alabama-Clemson and then LSU-Ohio State. If that was the Final Four last year and we got a Tua championship game going up against Joe Burrow, and you remember when they did meet up against one another and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had that big play down the sideline for a first down. It was like 3rd and 12 or something like that, and he turned it into a 1st or 3rd and 10, whatever it was. So anyway, when we get to 2020, as we're all over the place now, see, this is what happens, you know, talk Antonio Brown. We go to other things and we sound like we don't know what we're talking about for a second. No, I'm just kidding. But the big question this year in college football, can anyone else disrupt the potential path of seeing Alabama go up against Clemson again? And the one team you think about, it's Ohio State. Like, people said Oklahoma before the year, they already had 2 losses. So you take a glance at Ohio State, that's the team. You know, because Penn State, people like them this year. Do I think they're a national championship team? No, I don't. I don't think they are this year. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a national championship team. Because James Franklin, he struggles in the big games. So you will have your Final Four. 3 of the teams are going to be Alabama. You're going to have Clemson. And then you'll have Ohio State, and you'll see who the fourth team is. And I don't think you get 2 from the ACC. Who's the team in the Big 12? With Oklahoma now with 2 losses. The ACC, like we said, it's just going to be Clemson. So you go through it, there's only going to be one team. It's going to be another team in the SEC. That's what it's going to be. And it's usually, you know, it's not going to be the Pac-12. So it's going to be someone else in the SEC. But really, those are the 3 teams to pay attention to. Until, and, you know, there's 2 teams and then there's Ohio State. Because I still don't know with we're going to have a season, then we're not going to have a season, then we are going to have a season. I don't know how that affects Ohio State. And also with only playing 10 games and it being straight through, what happens if you have a little throw off or Ohio State comes down with COVID and you have to delay a game and things like that, you didn't really open up a lot of wiggle room. Ultimately, though, three out of the four teams, once again, Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. Can Ohio State upset either Alabama or Clemson? And last year, Clemson took care of Ohio State when they needed to. And, yeah, you probably, as a college football fan, and maybe I'm wrong on this, if you're not a fan of one of these teams that has a chance to get to the college football playoff, let's say you're just a neutral observer, wouldn't you rather see Alabama go up against Clemson again? I would love to see that. And I think Mac Jones is turning into one of the better stories in college football, where everyone's going to say he's a product of the system, and maybe he is. That guy's slinging it right now. And he's doing a really nice job. And I wonder what his draft stock's going to turn into. Because his draft stock, you know, last year, this time last year, were we talking about Joe Burrow as a number one overall pick yet? We're talking about him as a Heisman candidate. We weren't talking about him as a number one overall pick. And what he was able to do throughout the season, he turned into a number one overall pick. Now, do I think Mac Jones is going to develop into that? No, I don't. I wonder, though, what the NFL read's going to be on Mac Jones, though, at the end of this season. Because right now, the three quarterbacks, it's Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and then the kid from North Dakota State who just left, and Trey Lance. You know, where does Mac Jones fit into that conversation? Where can he elevate himself into in the draft conversation? And you look at Alabama, they've had some good quarterbacks over the last few years. They have. And you had Jalen Hurts there for a little bit, then you got Tua, and now you got Mac Jones. But the receivers there have just been ridiculous. That kid Waddle, and we knew he was fast last year, but he is ridiculously fast. And what he did up against Georgia last week, the defender basically just fell down. He goes, I can't catch him. And Devontae Smith is still there. And his third year in, he seems like he's been there for 10 years. So it's nice to get the Big Ten back because Ohio State's that big team. And at the end of the year, we know three of the four teams that will probably be there. Will Ohio State jump into two or one, or will they stay at number three? And last year, unfortunately, with the injuries, losing LSU, then losing Auburn, Alabama could not get in. Now Alabama's right back in the picture. So last year, you had LSU and Oklahoma. You had Ohio State, Clemson. This year, you know you'll have Alabama, Clemson, and the Ohio State, that fourth team. We'll have to wait and see who gets into the conversation. But it's actually good that the Big Ten is back and actually could play for the college football playoff, because college football is all about names, and Justin Fields, one of the bigger names in the sport. Gus Bratt joins us next. NFL Picks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.